Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 124th episode of the HSBG podcast. I'm your educator, Collins, and I'm here with my constant co-host, Shady Bunny. Shady, how you doing?
After such a wonderful introduction, I'm doing really well, Collins.
You got it twice, you know. How dare you? Yeah, but we've got a pretty stacked one. I've actually been playing some BG, so I actually have a lot to talk about as well. Yeah, and the patches came over. So, yeah.
Duos, we got him back, Collins. Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Yeah. You kind of cheated, to be fair.
We lured him in with duos, and now we're just playing solos together. Got him, team.
Was this your whole plan from the get-go? I'm really not.
Yeah, I was like, and then I'm going to injure my wrist, and oh, yeah, it's going to come together nicely.
A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Yeah, perfect setup. All right.
It does look like a master plan, though, right? Now, Collins and I have been doing a lot of... we did a lot of duos at the launch.
Yeah.
Duos, and now we're doing a lot of co-op solos because I can't play as much, so my wrist hurts. Collins is clicking. We're just talking about the game together.
Do you want to talk about that a little bit or no?
That's fine. I mean, it hurts now. It hopefully won't hurt in the future, and then it'll be fine. So,
okay.
Well, we can dive right in, right? So we got a nice little presentation. So if you can watch this on YouTube, it's useful. If not, then you know, no worries. It's a podcast. We'll talk about everything. So the Collins already mentioned we got a big patch. So I guess before we start off with the patch, just a quick little introduction where the meta was very, very specific, I would say. Mm-hmm. Where going to tier 3 and tier 4 was and probably still is the way to go. Really powerful because there's a lot of strong 3 drops, strong 4 drops. Strong 4 drops include something like Chimera, Long John, Copper to get extra coins. Those cards are super strong, which made the meta very, very mid-rangey. So mechs were super strong, dragons were super strong with those high divine shields. And then there were a couple of scenarios, especially when those types were out, where you could go something like Wraith, Elise, Roll, get a lot of 6 drops, play APM with, you know, Tethys and Greybane, or, you know, there wasn't really a lot of other things you would do. It was usually one of those 3 things, Mech Dragon or Elemental. And now with this patch, we'll have a little bit more, hopefully, stuff that is viable, because we saw some tweaks here and there. So I guess that's the sort of introduction of what we have been playing.
Yeah, there's no spoilers of what we think will be viable, but there are some that are looking to, you know, become the new top dogs. Woof woof, you know, that kind of thing. So
I don't know top dog, but yeah, dumb. All right, yeah. All right, well, we'll dive in, right? So first up, we have removed cards. These are just cards that are out to make space for other cards. Nothing more, really, in my opinion. Kindly Grandma, Sly Raptor, and Genie are out. And we'll see, coincidentally, that when we see added cards, there is 3 cards in. So we have Mana Saber in, Wrath Pack in, Little Rag in. Now, little bit of a disclaimer, at the time of this recording, Wrath Pack and Rag are not in yet.
Yes.
Because probably bugs. Like, they either didn't make it in, or they made it in and were bugged, so they immediately turned them off. But Mana Saber is back, so there's a little bit of synergy with Hummingbird. And what's your take on Little Rag? Because I'm curious to hear your take first, and then I'll go.
It seems like something you can buy on 4, you know, kind of like an upgraded party elemental. I'd still think Rag Rock Rock is the way to go, but you can do, like, all the cards, you know, Wraith and Tempest. Tempest is on 4 as well. No, it's on 5, right? So you still need a level to 5.
Tempest is 4.
Oh, Tempest is on 4, yeah. So, but the Battle Cry trigger is on 5 now, right? Yeah. So you still do need to go to 5 if you want to get, like, infinite rerolls. But it does open up, like, party into Rag, into just keep scaling with Ellie's without, like, dying. So that is something there. Yeah.
The way I look at it is, I'm with you that I think the Rock build is still the way to go and stronger. However, I can see a scenario where you are just staying on 4 and you have Golden Wraith and you just Golden farm Rag. Rags and you play Tempests and stuff and you're still getting a lot of stats. So I will definitely try that. I will definitely try a tier 4 strategy because you can't quite combine them, right? When you play with Bran, Rock, Wraith, you already have so many things you need to fit on your board, so it's very difficult. Like, playing 2 Rags in addition to having Rock brand and all that, is really tough to fit.
Yeah, if you can triple into brand, right? Maybe Rock just like now viable. It's like, oh yeah, I got brand. Tempest is like a lot of value, and I have the Wraith as well. So bum 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 bum, I roll into Tempest into brand, scale from there. Might actually work out.
Yeah, it's just like once you have that, you really want to be on 5 because the trigger battle cry is on 5. The panda that pulls spells is on 5. You're tripling into 6s. 6s give you the shield that combines elementals. So
yeah, you'll probably level anyways, but maybe you stay for a turn or something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, especially something like Silas, maybe, where you can use tickets to farm 4 drops for Little Rags and Tempests. I saw Saf was promoting that he wanted to try. So I can see certain heroes and certain starts just being like, okay, let me do tier 4. Maybe in a mech lobby or something where the tempo's super high and it's harder to climb up the tavern tiers, and you just say, let me just bunker down on 4 and slap a lot of stats on my board.
All in all, it opens more options, which I think is just a good thing for...
good to try out.
For players, right? Here's something you could do. The only issue is like if it's too good, but I don't expect that.
All right. Then... The
you're too dumb change. I love it. Yeah. That's what we call it here. Like
yeah, so this is really just a quality of life change. Rylek went from trigger the battle cry of the left minion to an adjacent minion. So that wording indicates that it's still one battle cry only that gets triggered. So if you put 2, it'll just pick one randomly. Now, that doesn't really increase the power a lot. It's mainly now you can put your Rylek far left and your battle cry on the right of it, and suicide your Rylek and get your value. Whereas before, you couldn't really do that.
I also think it does matter in the fact that you can now have 2 Ryleks.
Yeah, but it's so rare that you do that. But
it's rare because you couldn't do it before. Now you know we'll see. We'll see how greedy players are.
There's now a use for your second Rylek. Yeah. If you're trying to triple it, you can play it. Sure. But yeah, the dev comment is literally. I will just do it. I will just read it verbatim. If there are Battlecry minions on both sides of Rylek, it will trigger a random one. This is primarily a quality of life change after lots of reports from players frustrated that their duo's partner accidentally put Rylek in the wrong position and got no effect. This is actually in the patch notes, so it's pretty hilarious that there's so many people raging like, oh my god, I fed this guy Rylek and Bran, and then he puts the guy on the right side and he gets nothing! He can't reach!
Shady doesn't know that experience because he's only doing his man, you know.
That's actually amazing.
But I get it. I understand, I know.
Okay, now this is a substantial change. Yeah. We got Pokey Thornmantle going from being a 4/5 at the end of your turn, it triggers, to a 6/7 at the start of your turn, give your blood gems an extra 1/1. So, I mean, the very obvious implication here is that it no longer works with Drakari.
Yeah.
Pretty big.
Yeah, this is pretty massive because already at the highest ends, Quillboards were out-tempoed by most of the strategies people were playing before. Now, that's true in solos. In duos, that's not true at all, and this card was so busted in duos, and it just doesn't matter. Like, you go for this every time if Quillboards are in, you have the setup. But in solos, there was mechs that could deal with it, dragons in a lot of cases that could deal with it, and you even just get out-tempoed by other things. And the issue is, like, you need a super high roll for this, for Quillboards to work out. You need multiple 6 drops that all synergize together, right? All the Quillboards. So, and it's not like you could get, you know, one or the other. You need Pokey, too. So if you whiff, it's, like, really bad. So there's definitely some pain points, I think, for Quillboards with this change. Not that it wasn't necessary, but I do think they're going to struggle because it's hard to just, in this current meta, to set up 3 or 2 Quillboards 6 drops without dying, essentially. I do have a suggestion. You know, Shitty's like, enough of your suggestions.
Here we go.
But something I would consider.
Like 7 Pokies win the game, something like that.
Nah, it's like maybe make it a 5 drop. What do you think?
I'm a little scared about that.
I hear you too, but right now it takes a turn to scale, right? That's so slow, right? Like the turn you play, it does nothing. You know, I guess that's kind of already true, but you don't get like the Drakari setup, so there's no like you're going to get one and then two and then three. There's no way to speed that up.
Nine
so.
Fire drops in the pool, though. Nine Pokies in the game.
I'm just saying, like, I think, okay, if you get early Pokemon 5, now you know what you look for. Okay, here we go. Now maybe I can play a Cold War game. Right now, you have to shoot for a 6 and I hope it's a Pokey. Then you need another synergy card on top and you're just, like, already, like, taking 15 already.
And
so
theoretically, triple into a Pokey on 8 gold and then be on tier 4 and play Banner Boris.
Yeah. I mean, what's wrong with that? Like, sir. Like, I think that's okay.
What's wrong with a turn 9 Pokey Banner
Dude, we do. Dude, my last game, I had Shelemental, Golden Crooner, like turns 4 or 5. You know, like, this is not anywhere
close. Snake Eyes.
I did have Snake Eyes, to be fair. I can give full disclosure. I did cheat like 12 gold or whatever. Like, but yeah, but
I
still.
I just took 2 extra turns and look at what I had. It's crazy.
But still, like, that would be something I'd look into.
I will say that. I think Cold War were probably really strong for pretty much everything except the level we're playing at. Because I think the stuff we're pulling off is actually harder to do than just like, oh, I have Pokey Dracari. So you just have more time. So I think that in most people's their solos are like, what the hell are you talking about, Collins? Pokey was destroying my lobbies.
Right. That's true. Probably true.
Because people aren't doing beatboxer bullshit. People aren't doing infinite rate stuff. Like, sure, there's some dragon players. There's probably still some mech players, but it's not going to be as egregious. So I think that's why the balance of the game is so hard, where I have the same thing with elementals. They're buffing elementals this patch, right? Like, they made Rock they made Molten Rock better. They made Party Elemental better. That, to me, just indicates people weren't winning with elementals and they're just giving, like, small elemental buffs to, like, try to get better results for people playing.
I actually look at it a different way. I think what they're like is 2-drops suck because they did, right? You just skip 2s a lot of the games. Okay. So they're like, what 2-drops can we push a little bit for people to still stay on 2? Well,
right, or that was sort of part of the reasoning I had. They added rag back in.
But. Right, right. Yeah, the rag thing is like, I don't know. That one doesn't fit my theory.
Sure, okay. But no, I mean, you can do both, right? You can both buff elementals and 2-drops.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what we're talking about is Party Elemental went from being a 4-2 to being a 3-2, but now the buff is +2/+1 instead of 1-1, which is really
big. Nice. Yeah.
Like, so you play a Celemental, now you're getting +4/+2 for 1 gold.
Yeah.
If you have 1 Party Elemental, so.
Yeah. And Cyclone's still on 2, so, you can really get big Cyclones. This one, I don't fully get like this one is like, oh, this one's weird.
Just say this one out loud, right, for listeners.
So Dead Stomper is going from a 2/6 base to a 4/11 base, so it's gaining 5 health and 2 attack.
5 health on a card that's in the back line is pretty dumb.
Yeah, it's still a zap target is the good thing, but other than that, I'm like, huh.
Like, so my interpretation of this is that in general, token stuff wasn't really doing too hot.
Right.
And again, I think at the very highest MMR, this is not true because Death Stomper was a good counter into mech and dragon. So high-level players would do that. But again, right throughout most MMRs, people aren't going to have that reasoning. And it's more going to be, oh, I'm going to play beasts and therefore I put a Death Stomper on my board. And it just sucked. They wouldn't just do Death Stomper with a mech horse and just like watch the numbers fly.
Yeah, I do want to mention with this card, like, there's 2 cards that feel wrong here with this card. Mech horse is one of them. And do you know the other one? Just guessing.
Card that's wrong with this.
Yes, yeah, what's wrong?
Handless?
The Beatles.
Beatles.
So you're stupid right. with this. So if you have that setup, right, beasts are in a lot of times with this card, so if you can get that combo, it's just like you kill people, right? If there's a Gallywix in your lobby.
We played Beatles Death Stomper into a Gallywix.
Yes,
you're dead. So yeah, I guess the TLDR on this is that I can understand the buff because it was probably not doing well in their stats, but for high level MMR, this is scary.
Yeah.
Like, you just, like Colin said, you just kill people with this if you play it intelligently. So yeah. All right, well, the next one is Lasso-matic, which I think is a very understandable nerf, where you had Lasso with Tsarina combo that was just very simple, very straightforward, and very strong. It was probably played across all MMRs to good success. Now, it went from a 9-5 to a 7-4, which, yeah, that's a nerf, but you're not really going to feel it too much if you're playing this combo, because you play one spell with Tsarina and all of a sudden you're back up to 9 damage. So yeah, I mean, and it's more like the spirit of the change where it will make this card weaker, but the combo itself is almost as strong.
I feel it in my soul, though, you know, like...
Ugh. Play a 7-4.
Yeah. It reminds me of a game. This is not that related, but I had a Nala with Brand Shell Murloc.
Shell Elemental or Shell Murloc?
No, the Tavern 2. Get a copy of Tavern 2. You'd have to... Alright, I'll...
Okay,
sure. I'll move on.
Alright, yes. Oh, yeah, into a massive change. Scrap Scraper goes from being a 5-5 Battle Cry and Death Rattle to get a random magnetic into a 6-5 just Death Rattle. And, I mean, Collins and I have already felt it, where we had two utility drones on our board, and we rolled a 6-5 Scrap Scraper that just had Death Rattle, and we said, oh, this is too slow, we can't take it.
My first game, I had a golden one, and it was bad. And I was just like, damn. Solo game. Yeah, my first game, yeah, after the patch.
Yeah, if it ever doesn't die, you're so screwed, right? Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah. It's
It's hard, though, because it has Battlecry, it's bonkers, right? So, because there's so many ways you can trigger it, and it has higher tempo and all that. Because, essentially, if it has Battlecry, you print extra stats on this thing, right? Because you can magnetize it straight away. It's free to play if you have a brand. It could get you a Corotron for extra money straight away. It could put a Divine Shield on itself. So I get where they're coming from here, where mechs were so bad in the previous meta that they really, really wanted to make them viable. But in that process, they made Scrap Scraper so strong that it's in this weird spot now where being a 6-5 Death Rattle is also scary, because that doesn't always die if it's not taunted. Like, that could hit a 3 or 4 power minion quite easily.
What if it was gain 2?
Death Rattle get 2 max.
Yeah.
Then the issue is, then you play like Macaw Titus and you're like,
that's true. Yeah. You would just do that, wouldn't you?
The problem is, like, the moment you double something, you don't quite double it. You double it and then you double it and then you double it, because players will just play multiplication effects, right? So. It's just, yeah, there's ways to trigger Battlecry and there's ways to trigger Death Rattle, so it's sort of scary to make it twice as strong all of a sudden.
Yeah, then I don't know. Like, if you can't
do it. I think if there was an easy answer, they probably would have done it, right? But, I mean, generally speaking, if something is way too strong that it's breaking the meta, it's better to make it so weak that you don't really want to buy it, because at least, you know, it's not like I rolled a Lasher and I was like, God damn it, this thing is... It was just like, oh, I'm minus one shop, right? You know, it's annoying, but it's not a big deal. Whereas if Scraper is so big and you see someone popping off with like a Draconic Brand next to Scraper and they're just like magnetic, that is kind of a problem.
Yeah, not an easy solution there.
Yeah.
Next up, they touch my boy.
Entirely for you, Collins.
Look what they've done to my boy. After I fixed the card, they were like, you didn't do good enough. But yeah, when this card takes damage, give a friendly minion of each type +1/+1. So it goes from 3 times per combat to 2 times per combat. It also gained 1 health to compensate.
Chimera.
Yeah, winged Chimera, the best buddy. The god of the combos. You know, honestly, every combo really facilitates off of this, since it has all types. You can really play with almost anything. But yeah, it's still really good with the change. Twice per combat, you do feel it, but...
Yeah. You're in your brain, you're like, there's something missing.
Yeah, like, but it's fairer.
You don't see the buff. Yeah. It's less unfair. It's still pretty unfair, but it's less unfair.
Yeah. I think that's a good spot for the card to be in. Like, because you do have to put in some work.
Unhappy that my opponent has it. Not desk slamming. Okay. Can't believe he has Chimera again. Bam.
After 2 changes, I think it's in a better spot. It could still be in I'm going to complain about this card level, but at least it feels better than before, you know. And I don't think once per combat is that fun. So I think twice is like where you can go and still
feel. Yeah, like once you turn it into once, it's gonna be like.
Yeah, like who cares about this card anymore? Yeah.
So yeah, we'll monitor it. We'll see how much win rate it has. Okay, Crooner went from being a 4/4 to a 2/2. I think that's just a small correction to them really over buffing this, moving it to tier 3 and giving it extra stats, really wanting people to play it, which was successful. People bought a lot of Crooners because when you buy a 4/4 and you get a spell, you're effectively buying a 5/5 with upside because it gets stronger every turn and you might roll Zesty. Yeah. Whereas now there's an investment to buying it because you're essentially buying a 3/3 on the turn. So there might be a Pharynx next to it in the shop, and you're saying, well, if I want to be strong, I can take the Pharynx, or I can take the Deep Blue. So now there's a little bit of an investment, a cost at least.
Yeah, it's still really good if you buy three and you triple into a five, and you five is elemental, you have two cards in your hand, and you have two cards on the board, and you triple buff and then use the
Snake. I knew you would just talk about the Snake Eyes game by you, by the way. I would put good money on that.
I mean, you would do the same thing, my friend. I would.
That's why I would put money on it. Like, it's so on your mind. You're like, Crooner, basically the best card in the game, right, boys? Yeah, this Crooner is insane. It's just like, there's so much recency bias if you have an insane game with it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but I mean, not a big change, just an understandable change, right? Because this card was just really, really not. Like, you go 3/3, you open two Crooners, it's like, oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so good. Oh,
I chefed good it. Now, I chefed it, my friend. It was so
nice. Oh, disgusting. Oh, this one is great. Okay. Did you play? You heard me talk about this.
Yes. You were saying, I was scared of this change because I remember you saying, oh, when it was three, it's broken. I can't believe, you know, they can't do it. Like, it's too strong. So I'm like, oh, wow, they are doing it. So, but I haven't played with it yet, so I don't know how good it is. So
my take on this is that, indeed, when this was three, it was giga broken. Mm. But that wasn't a meta where there was a bunch of high-damage Divine Shields running around.
Okay.
So just putting Pirates on the board, you kind of just get farmed by Deflecto, so... I think maybe in no mech lobbies, maybe no dragon lobbies, it's going to be a powerhouse. We'll see. It's probably like a decent card now to run into your brand setup.
Yeah, this seems like a decent Nala card. Where if you have Nala, you're like, okay, bye-bye-bye, freeze tavern spells. And these tavern spells could be like so stupid, right? So
Sometimes you just get golden touch and you're like, oh, that's good. Or now that there's beanstalk, you could get a random beanstalk. Yeah. So basically golden touch and beanstalk are relatively cheap ways to get six drops. So you could get Tethys that way. So I'm definitely excited to play like a double Seafarer board, especially in a Nomec lobby, and see if I can just pop off.
I've played one game with the old one with the four cards and it felt okay, but I had like a really good setup. I remember, like, I was like, wow, I can actually keep this on my board.
In the right setup, it was already okay. So that, especially when you have two of them, they just give you extra money and then, you know, you just pop off.
Two of them sounds like wow. Yeah.
Yeah, then you can really do something like buy Chef's Choice for one gold and it's just weed.
You're basically Tethys again.
Yeah. One thing I will say about that card, right, if we're talking about Seafarer, is if you're APMing, man, this is jarring when you're just like APMing and just like spells flying into your hands. Because when you're APMing, you're used to just buy card and then card enters my hand when I buy. But if you have Tethys and Seafarer in your hand, it's just like there's shit generating in your hand and you're not keeping track of what counter everything has, right? So it just randomly goes like pshum, pshum, pshum. So that's why when we are playing, I'm always like sell the garbage, because I'm used to just like so much cards suddenly appearing in my hand. It's like, bro, just have like four cards in your hand most, you know, you're like, you're gonna burn cards, trust me, because the cards are gonna come out of nowhere.
The issue, I'm so used to having random cards that are like useful for like three turns later, you know, and then I'm just like, oh, I have six of those in my hand. And then what do I do? Yeah.
All right. This change is pretty interesting. Gunpowder Courier went from being a 2/6 to a 1/6.
I didn't get to test it. I had an opportunity test it, but Shady said no.
So, I mean, this makes sense to me. It's more of a, hey, if you're going to go Mono Pirate, it's now better. Which makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the change. I think it's
worse when you pick it up now. Right? It takes a while before it's better now.
it does lean into the theory that there's so much attack early in the game, especially with pirates and stuff like that. Like, where if you're trying to have these high health boards, no attack, you just get farmed. Because people have deflectos, people have couriers, ripsnarl, these kind of things, hooktail, dragons, right? There's so many high attack scaling cards that you just get farmed. Something to think about.
Yeah, it is a tough, it's indeed a good thing where it's... You know, Balladist used to be such an insane card where you play one Balladist in the early game and you're not really losing because things were much more about having tokens with Hummingbird and all that. But now there's just so much high damage running around that it's indeed not a guarantee anymore.
I don't know the life of, like, Balladist was an insane card. The only I'm like, it's okay. It's good with Brand Tethys. Like, that's how I look at it, yeah.
They were absolutely good, really good setups. All right, yeah, do you want to go to this?
Yeah, next up we have Sister Death Whisper is getting a pretty meaningful change. It's going from a 4/10 to a 5/9, and after a friendly minion is reborn, instead of giving your undeads 1+3, now you're giving all of your minions 1+3 permanently. So this is a pretty massive change. I think some of the best winners of this change would be Beast, because Beast have the card that can give reborn, so you can actually run this in a Beast lobby and not feel that weird about it. And then also Titus, just because, like, you run Titus anyways, now your Titus can actually scale. So pretty powerful change, and does make undead stronger, right? I was wondering if undead is going to be better with this change. Yeah, it does actually just make, when you get an early sister, you don't feel bad about it if you have some reborn. So pretty good.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it used to be a lot of the time where you had it and then you just had to start selling out of your undeads because it didn't really make sense. Yeah. And now you can just have minions and not lose too much tempo for having to sell. So really, really high, really good buff.
Yeah.
I didn't even see when I first reviewed the card that they changed it. Mm. I thought it was just a stat line change. And I was like, oh my
God. Why are they nerfing this? Yeah.
That's a sick buff. What the hell? So yeah, really good buff for Sister. Oh my god. Yeah, probably the biggest change, I think, in the whole freaking patch is coming up here. We go from Lasher being an 8/3 to a 5/3, but it now scales every attack. Time you take every time a beast takes damage, you gain 1/1 instead of 1 health.
Yeah.
So that is ridiculous, right? You go from, basically it's like, what if Battlemaster was Battlecry, gained that much damage and health? Like, that's literally the buff.
I think, Battlemaster, dude. Oh my god, you brought me back.
Imagine if you played a Battlemaster and it was, instead of like a 3/40, it was a 40/40. Can you imagine?
Honestly, in this meta, I kind of see it. Like, I kind of see it. No,
like, dude, imagine if you're brand new triple into it. You're just like,
that already won you the game back then. Back in those days, like, if you had a triple battle,
there was a chance you run into a bigger minion and you trade poorly into it with your, you know, 3-power minion or whatever.
Well, it'd be 6-power, you know, like that's twice the attack. But yeah, I mean, I think this is what they initially tested this card with, but then they're like, oh, this is too strong, and then they nerfed it, and then they're like, ah, well, beasts suck, and people are complaining. Let's bring it back, you know, see what happens. But yeah, this does make Beast strong. Now you have an end game minion on your beast board to deal with these, like, those big minions that usually your tokens can't deal with. Now your Lasher can deal with it, and it's usually bigger than theirs, right? So this is a pretty massive change, especially when it's golden. So
it'll get nerfed to a 5, I'm pretty sure.
You think so?
Started at 5, yeah. And then it sucked, and they brought it to 4. So they clearly saw it being okay at 5, right? So I'm sure it's going to run amok for a while, and they're going to be next patch. All right, Lasher to 5. Because right now it's too... If it's on 4, it's so easy to
start make golden. For it. Yeah.
Yeah, no, you can just, like, you can buy Rampager, knowing that there's a reasonable chance you'll just get Lasher, and then you can lean into it already, which makes the setup so much stronger. Whereas if you have to plan for a 5 drop, that's a lot scarier. Right, it's a lot harder to say, and then they'll just play a 5 drop.
Yeah, that's why Pokey to 5 is okay.
Bringing it back. All right. Anyways, we played one beast game and
it was good.
I think the way, yeah. So for anyone who's wanting to try this out themselves, I think the way to do this is macaw, and then either you have Fire Dancer to AoE your own board, or you have the Reborn Beast that AoEs your own board, and then you just proc it so fast where you have Titus, you have macaw. Maybe you have Reborn Macaw, maybe you have Golden Macaw, and you just deal damage to your own board in a very, very efficient way because it translates really well into the next change, which is the Skyblazer, which is now going from a +1/+1 buff to a +1/+2 buff. So just imagine, you know, we don't have to imagine, we had it, right? We had Skyblazer and Lesher in our backline, and then we had Macaw, Titus, and we had that
Spike drop, savior.
Reborn Beast. Yeah, the Spiked Stegodon or whatever it is.
Savior, I think.
I'm just AoEing our own board, which was... Oh, Savior. Yeah, sorry. It's, yeah, it scaled up very quickly. Like, our shit had a ton of stats. And we were honestly doing that on kind of a budget version, right? We had a regular Skyblazer, never goldened it. It took ages to make a Golden Macaw. That was not a Golden Steg, Spiked Savior. That was not a Golden Titus. That was regular Titus, regular Macaw, Spiked Savior, regular Lasher for a long time. And then, so I can just imagine, like, what if you have an early Golden Lasher with that setup? Like,
I'm thinking double Seafarer or Skyblazer. Yeah, like that's where I'm like, oh yeah, give me that. Like,
Someone in chat saying beasts still work, but I mean, we've literally played it, my dude. Like, it felt very good.
Yeah.
It's not like we queued it up in some chump lobby, right? That was, what was that? 11k. So,
yeah.
It worked pretty well. That's not to say beasts are the best type, because there's, you know, there's always going to be, whenever you're limited by this combat scaling, there's always going to be some guy running around with infinite money making a bigger port, right? Yeah. But it's a very non-risky form of scaling, which is very powerful.
Yeah, you're not the strongest comp in the game, but you have enough tempo to pressure people, and you can like fight hard in the late game. It's, you know, like, people, Gallywix gamers will kill you, right, still, but you can actually, like, hey, I can contest you, I can make a big board, I can have a big game minion, I can kill any, I can kill people who are cheating, you know, like, any scammers, you kill them, you know. So it's pretty safe in that regard. So it's pretty good top two board in essence.
Then the next change is one that I actually spent a little bit of time on my review, because I looked at it, and like, I guess I wanted to have your take first. Like, what do you make of the Murky change?
Well, I played with it.
Yeah. So what do you make of
it? It's much better for actually playing a Murloc game, right? Because now you can get young guy with Murky, and you obviously have a brand, so you actually skill quite a bit just off of that. So, you know, if it's a good thing to end your card or end your board with. And thanks for the raid, Redbeard. Hope you're having a fantastic rest of your day. But it felt pretty good, and it doesn't really nerf like the other people just playing it on their Chimeras for tempo. Like, yeah, it's 8/8 instead of 10/10, but like, it's still the same. And if you are playing a Murloc board, now you actually have an incentive to have a full Murloc board, and which you really didn't have that much of an incentive to do. So overall, I like the change.
It's really good, I think. The you had old Murky Murkai, which was just destroying lobbies. Old Murky was +1/+1 for each battle cry you've played this game.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's insane. Okay. That's
destroyed, because you would just go like Golden Brand and play just like Shell
Collectors. Yeah, yeah. I can see that. Yeah.
Marazon, Tavern Tempest. Just now, regular Murky starts at +20/+20, assuming for 5 Murlocs, which I think is reasonable.
Right.
5 of your guys, that's the A plus Brand plus a flex slot. So I think, you know, doing the math for 2020 is fair. So that's 20/20. You add a Brand, that's 40/40. But the math gets out of control pretty fast here, where, so let's say you have a golden version. So now you're getting your 20/20, but then times 2, that's 40/40, but then Brand, that's 80/80. So that's 80/80 end of turn. But now you have a golden Murkai, so that's 160/160 end of turn. But now you have Drakari. That's what, 320. So that's... Now, keep in mind that's a regular brand, so it's not like crazy. And making golden murlocs is not so hard with primal fin.
I tried. So golden... I didn't hit it. I had two murkies. Right. I couldn't hit it.
But still, like just golden murky, golden murkai with Bran is 320, right? Or Drakari is 320.
With Drakari,
right? Anyways, yeah. That's a lot of numbers end of turn.
Yeah, it's good.
Right, so this could definitely run out of control quickly if you're having a good game. Because Murloc games do take off, right? Because, like, what's on the other side of the Murkai? It's a Primal Fin, right? And then Primal Fin fills your hand, you fish for the right cards, you triple your shit. That's, yeah. So a little scared for this, once people get good at it, that we're going to see these just giant boards with, you know, base skill. So it's going to be unscammable. It's slightly scary for me.
I had that game. I had that. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. A bit scary. So we'll see how it.
It was fun.
We'll see how often people can do it. Yeah. It's dude. Murky Murkai was a blast to play, but incredibly dreadful to play against. Because, like I said, it's unscammable. Right. You have minions that are bigger than the other guy's minions, and your base skill kills their guy and then spawns Belcher. And you're just like, oh, okay, that's fair, I guess. Or there's just like a big Bream in the hand. So anyways, it's something to look out for. I don't think you should gloss over Murky anymore if you're playing. All right. Then what do you think about this one?
I mean, it's fun. That's how I feel about it. It's
you
fun.
Can start by saying...
Oh, right. Hungering Abomination. So it used to be a 6/7 tier 5. It's a 4/5 tier 5. Avenge 1. Instead of gaining 1/1 permanently, it's 1/2 permanently. So this can actually be a pretty tanky minion if you have synergy, especially with Beast Undead in the lobby, to just have a really, really tanky boy later in the game. This can be kind of a replacement for some of your other cards if you're looking for those actual core pieces. So I actually seen this, some people have been playing this with Beasts, just because, you know, if you have a mech horse, it's a lot of avenge procs and it gets big pretty fast. So gives 5 drops an extra, I guess, an extra hit if you are running those type of compositions.
So to me it's one of those things where now you're just more likely to take it from your discovery, which means you're more likely to just, you know, let's say you're tripling into a 5-drop, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which means you're more likely to keep just tokens on the board, which means you're more likely to want sister and stuff. So it's just one of those things where I don't think the card itself is now like broken or crazy, but it's just, it makes it so much easier to pick it up, where it's just the best tempo line.
Mm.
And then because of that, your game gets pushed more towards undead.
Like the demon buff, essentially.
Yeah. It just makes it more likely that you're going to end up in it.
That's fair.
Oh, yeah. I think that's fine, because I don't think people were playing a lot of undead token builds. So.
No, and I couldn't really buy that card before, so I might be able to buy it now. And that's what you want.
That's why those buffs, I think, even though it's not like crazy for impact of the game, it steers your game in a different direction, because now that option opens up. Like, you're not going to die for tripling into A-bomb.
Yeah. Right? Now, Shady's that favorite weird change of the patch.
Yeah, Molten Rock. It's a 3/3 instead of a 3/2.
Yeah.
I like buying Molten Rock early, because it means that I can play Party Elemental and Wraith easier.
And I do buy 3/3, yeah. So this isn't... Like, if the Naga, the 3/3 Naga, I buy that, and I don't feel sad about it, so...
It's in buyable territory.
Yeah, it's in buyable territory, yep.
All right, Frostling Change. This was probably because they added Rag
to tier 4. Yeah.
So they needed to pull something to tier 5 and they removed Genie to make space.
Yeah,
The Frostling now is a +2/+1 instead of +1/+1. But on tier 5.
It hurts me because it just makes Greymane Rockrock not a target, you know. Like, but I guess the other target is Little Rag. But that's what I was thinking.
Once Rag is back in, you could play Rag.
Yeah. But I was like, oh, this is worse.
when you have Wraith on your board, you want to play Elementals to roll. And if when you have Greymane, you want to buy even Elementals to roll. And Frostling was an even Elemental. So you just got to mentally adjust, oh, that's no longer a thing I can buy.
Yes. Right in my brain, I was like, I'm fixing it. Like, oh, this is something I buy. And now it's like, no, it's not anymore.
The flip side, for Shellamental, this is great now, right? So now you're getting twice as much attack when you target this in the shop with Shellamental. So...
I think that's the real winner. That's the real winner.
Yeah. for overall for the elemental type, this is a huge buff. Because you were targeting in this shop this more than on your board anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, then the rack change we already talked about. It's a tier 4, 4, 4 instead of a tier 5, 6, 6. Mm-hmm. This started out, I think, as a tier 6, 8, 8 or something.
Something or like 6, that, 6. Yeah. I think it was 8, 8 to be like, I'm a rag, you know, I'm a little rag. You know?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. And it was actually, or maybe it was a 4, 4. Maybe it was actually a tier 6, 4, 4.
I feel like you can't do that, but maybe it was.
Well, remember, that's a long time ago, Carlos. Uh-huh. It was a different age. But 8-8 is very possible. 8-8 is very possible. But I just remember that was a thing. You would just go to 6, play Little Rag and Genie, and win games.
Yeah, it was good.
But that shows the power creep in the game, where this is now a 4-drop with the same effect.
To be fair, the effect does scale with levels, so...
I mean, there's a reason that this was on 6 and not on 4, right?
Right.
Because that, you know, like, that just means, how many rags is that? So there's 7, 9, 11. 11 little rags in the pool. Right? The chance to make a lot of triple, like, you could quite easily have 2 golden little rags, right? That's the thing.
Yeah.
Whereas before, that was hard. That meant you had all but 1 little rag.
Right, yeah. True. Anyway, that's fair.
Yeah, we already covered the card, and it's not in the game right now, so we can't really give you feedback on it yet.
It's broken. I can give you feedback, yeah.
I hope podcast seal on it. Broken. All right. Rallier goes from being a 3-4 to a 3-5, but the effect is being cut in half for the health. So you're now getting +2/+1 instead of +2/+2.
This needed to happen.
Well, the worst part is this looks like a great card right now.
Yeah, it's still great, but... It was so broken. It was so not fair. You just take 15. You're healing off attacking. Like, what is this? Like, I'm attacking your minion, and I end up better off because I attacked you, like, and killed your card. Like, come on, don't give me this. Yes, yeah.
It's a very frustrating card. Anything that just like pumps itself, and anything that gets way better with combat RNG. So combat RNG already makes your board better if you hit right. You know, your shield goes into the big guy, the bumper goes into the shield, right? Combat RNG plays a factor, but when combat RNG on top of that, you're also, the longer the combat goes, the stronger they get. It's so like, oh my god, no, stop. This was kind of close, and now he's destroying me. Stop buffing.
Yeah. So this is the card that dealt the most 15 damage, I bet, in the
game. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Roaring Rallier was basically dealer of -15. Yeah, this is, I mean, still think this is great, right? That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think this affects just how much you buy Rallier, which is so crazy. Like, if you have a Dragon Board, you're still buying this early. Like, it's still amazing. Yeah. So, yeah. Little disgusting how good the original version was.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anyways. I would say the relevant change here is... When you are playing Poet in the late game, you don't really care how much attack Rallier adds. You just care about the health, so you can buff out of token range. So for that reason, it is a huge nerf. For late game, it's a huge nerf. But for early game, like, you know, turn 5, 6, 7 is still a monster. Yeah. This one's huge. Yeah,
this was such an elegant change to Dragons. Like, this is not what most people would have came up with. I think when they're like, oh, how do we change Dragons? They're like, oh, Poet's too big. Nightbane's the problem. We got to fix those, right? But the designers, in their infinite wisdom, they were like, you know what actually is the issue? They have Divine Shields way too easy. So we're going to turn Amber Guardian, this card that's been in the game for a while, from a tier 3 to a tier 5. And now with Poet, you actually have to invest in tier 5, invest in triples to have a full board of Divine Shield Dragons, which was a big issue, and it lets them keep Nightbane the same, which I think was really tough to do otherwise, because you want to keep it the same because it opens up different comps with KT and other stuff. You don't want to really tuck in Nightbane like that, and Poet was like the core 4 drop that really allowed you to play Dragons. If you make it a lot worse, like, it already has a 2-3 stat line, then you just ruined that whole archetype completely. And this lets you do what you want to do. You can still have that same endgame Dragon board, but you don't get that free, I have Rallier, I have Amber Guardian, I have Poet, everything is Divine Shield, I can't hit you, you're dealing 15, there's no easy counterplay there. So I actually think this is a very elegant solution to kind of deal with dragons without like completely neutering them and saying, oh, they're unplayable now. So that's my takeaway from this. Any thoughts?
I echo that completely. I think that this was a very elegant change, as you see. I can just see Mitchell just like kind of in a monk on me, like looking at this and just like moving a chess piece like hammer to five. We're done. All right. Get wrecked. You're just like looking at hammer to five. Checkmate. So no, that's not what I would have come up with.
You beat me with that play. Yeah, I mean that play wins. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, okay, well, yeah, that's because we are complaining about it because dragons get online so fast, mm-hmm. and you could just camp on four, and this makes it way harder, where sometimes this is actually a buff to dragons in some games, like the game we had where you have a poet and then you triple into Amber Guardian. It's like, okay, whatever, right? You just got lucky, but you can't force it anymore, right? You really have to organically just like, oh, I have a poet. Oh, I tripled an Amber Guardian. Oh, now I'm getting +7/+7, which is, you know, permanently, which is really good. But for the most part, this just means that you can't just force it where you say, okay, I will have a board full of divine shields. Now it's like, well, you'll need that five drop, which means it'll go way slower, which means you'll take way more damage on the way up. So yeah, beautiful change.
Make like, here's two triples that you can get for dragons, whereas you're like, you launder or nothing.
It's more hope. If you're going for fives, there's more. You can buy the evolve card. That's true. Twice as much hope.
That's true. Yeah. I still think that evolve card is like its own problem.
All right, then this one we can blaze through that. So Hooktail went from being a 2/5 to a 1/4. Yeah. People were using this to buff their divine shields because you know, whenever you cast a tavern spell, give your minus +1 attack. This was pretty bad when it wasn't buffing itself, and it went to really good when it buffed itself. So they just said, hey, let's just nerf the stats a bit and see if that lowers the win rate a bit, which, you know, fine. I don't think Hooktail is like super problematic right now.
Yeah, I wonder if it's a low MMR problem more than like high MMR.
Well, in tournaments, right? Remember?
Yeah, it was really good in tournaments.
But insane tournament card. But yeah, for high level players in ladder, they really want to push for first or second, and, you know, being on three with Hooktail isn't exactly a first place
game. Yeah, so that's true.
All right, yeah, then Trickster goes from being a 2/3 to a 3/3 again. That's just a small change where they're trying to make two drops. So this was Collins' take, which I think is really good. They're trying to make two drops better because there's currently a ton of power leveling going to three, going to four. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's good enough just because of how dumb Long John Copper is, Aranasi, Chimera still, right? There's still so much dumb shit. Roaring Rallier, right? There's lots of stuff there.
I think what would be nice is the person that stays on two, the extra turn, like, actually wins, right? Like, against the three drops, but, like, a lot of times you level the three, you buy two good minions, like, double roaring, and you always win. You know, maybe here you have a chance.
Because, I don't know, we played today, and we kind of followed similar curves like we've been doing the past week, and it felt pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think this is enough to change it. Yeah.
But it's on the way, right? Yeah. I think it's more of a, they just made certain cards so strong. Like, it's getting early Long John is just, oh my god.
Yeah. So or Conductor, that kind of thing, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. All right, Oozling goes from being a 1/2 to a 2/2. Who cares, right? It's again just like,
it's slightly helpful.
Again, right, but there's nothing to talk about. It's just like, you're now slightly higher win rate. Okay, cool. Weaver, this, when I did my own review, I kind of just did this. I just did this. Like, right, nobody needs to talk about this shit. I guess for low MMR, this is nice, right? You can now buy Weaver more, but at high MMR,
I never see Weaver, this card is losing.
Buying Weaver into, the problem is that you have such a shit card where, you know, you have to play one demon, and then this is a 3/5, and you've already dealt one damage to your, and you, like, you have to play a 1/4, and you don't know if you're gonna hit, and you don't know if you're gonna get rewinder. It's just, I don't want to be playing.
If this was me, this would be a 1/5 plus 2/2. I would just make it.
Apparently, my camera's frozen. I don't know. Maybe that's.
That's my fault, probably.
Okay, fine. Am I back?
Yeah, you're back. You're back. You're back. Free.
I'm free. Freedom. Anyways, not much to talk about. Yep. Weaver. Backstage. Yeah, this one. Yeah, give me your take on this.
This was not a change I was expecting, but But I welcome it, mostly because I hate this card. I do not like this card in its previous form, and I will I will be like, all right. So now it's going from at the start of your turn, you deal one damage to your hero, to battle cry, deal one damage to your hero. So now it's just a 4/5 battle cry, deal one to your hero.
So this is the one drop backstage.
Do you remember the old one, the 2/4 taunt? The demon 2/4 taunt, yeah, homunculus, deal 2 to your hero. Now this is a deal 1 to your hero, 4/5. Like, what the matter? What the high creeper?
I think this is horrible.
You think it's bad? Because now it's the best one drop, right? You just buy it.
Yeah, now I just talked about it, where now it's like prisoner's dilemma. But the punishment for backstabbing your teammate is you get like prison for one day. Like, you always just, like, you always buy this, right?
Because you always buy this,
You could agree with the lobby, like, look, we don't need to be taking one extra damage. Let's just nobody buy a backstage. But I need to trust that you're not buying a backstage.
Nah, I'm buying a backstage.
I know I was buying a backstage. So that's the problem, right? So it's like this really weird prisoner's dilemma where you don't really get punished for backstabbing your teammate. It's like you get a slap on the wrist. Oh, okay, so one damage. Oh, one damage to buy. Oh, you naughty man.
So it should be 2 damage?
It's just like remove this shit, right? Just like don't have. Why would you have one drop that you have to buy? Otherwise, you will lose your fight if the other person.
Shouldn't it be a 4/4?
Just make like imprisoner. I don't care. Like imprisoner.
Just put imprisoner back. Okay.
Yeah, I don't care. Just like or just not have it on the board. I don't know. It's so dumb because now it's just. You know, they tried to make it less polarizing, like, did I roll economy? Yes or no? I get that. You want to remove that problem. But now it's just like, did I roll a backstage? Yes or no? If I roll a backstage, I take 1 instead of 5. If I fight someone with a backstage, I take damage instead of... it's just frustrating for no reason.
All right. Now let's look at this from a demon perspective, right? We don't do that here in this channel. But let's say you have a brand now. Like, this is actually a buy with Chocondrius. Like, hey, you're buffing your minions +2/+2. Okay.
You should never have Chocondrius on your board.
And this is why we don't look at things from a demon perspective right here. Like, this is the response I get from Shady. So,
rough. I mean, you can play demons, but you just can't play Chocondrius, right? Because... The way demons work is you buff one guy and then you summon it again with the cultist.
Sure.
So the whole purpose of Chocondrius is to spread the buffs evenly among your board, which makes no sense because you start selling those demons as you add cultist. Right? So the whole design of demons makes no... I mean, you can do just like regular... And again, this is for high MMR, right? So I'm not even saying that Chocondrius is not viable at mid MMR, right? Because probably... If you have like Golden Malkazar and Floating Watcher and you have like double Chocondrius on your board, that might be okay. But like, when has a board of 60-60s ever won a high level MMR lobby, right? And nobody gives a shit. Like, you need to cheat. You need to do something nasty. And you can make like a 300-300 Floating Watcher with Divine Shield and summon that 4 or 5 times. I'll take that, right? Instead of a board of mediocre demons where I spread the buffs out instead.
But yeah, okay. Sure. So not a big impactful change for high level demons. It's just an annoying card that people are kind of forced to buy if demons are in the lobby and you roll this.
It just makes the early game more frustrating. It's like there's another mana saber out there where, you know, like fight it and take more damage.
Right. There's another picky eater into backseat security. It's called backseat security.
Or you could just scold someone for buying it because it was probably still correct if they bought it because they're like, okay, I'll just take 2 and then sell it or whatever. Then the problem with that line is then you roll like chef's choice and you're like, damn it, I'm not selling it. Take more damage. Oh, stop it backstage, right? Whereas now you just like play it, and if you don't have to sell it, that's good. It's a 4/5. Keep that sucker, right? So the whole change to me makes no sense, but I get it, right? There was a lot of whining from a lot of different individuals.
Me included. I was whining. I wanted to change for sure.
There's a lot of people that, you know, might have put pressure on the devs saying like, hey, this card's really bad. I don't like this card.
I would take this over the old one. I'm gonna be the hater.
You're crazy, Colin. Because before you would just ignore it. That's not in your shop. Now you're opponents are gonna have it and deal damage to you if you didn't roll it.
I'm just gonna buy it. I'm just gonna buy it anyways, you know.
Yeah, but you don't always have it in your shot. Anyways, whatever. If you want my, you know, insulted opinion, that is a terrible choice. Like, I really don't like that.
Make it a 4/4 or something. I don't know.
It just creates frustration for no reason. Whatever. Anyways, new card. Fire Dancer was changed from a 5/2 to a 6/3. That's in line with, like, the ooze change and all that. It's just like, okay, whatever. Make two drops a bit stronger. Not a huge... I mean, it's good to see sort of that trend of let's try to make people not level to three as easily. Yeah. So, yeah, that makes sense, right? Just keep bumping up the two drops until people aren't power leveling.
Yeah, makes sense.
Shipwright, I'll let you tackle this one.
Yeah. This one was another me effect, very likely. But it's going now from a 2/5 to a 2/5, but now whenever it gains attack, it gains one health permanently. So you now can keep health by... fighting during combat. Best change with this is Ripsnarl. So if you start Ripsnarl and Shipwright, you put it first, you attack, you gain the health. The health stays for the next the rest of the game. So it's I think it's a nice change, you know, because I also, you know, that does make pirates better. I do think pirates are one of the better staying on two comps. So it's not like pirates in essence need it, but I kind of look at it like Reef Riffer where. Where Lava Lurker and Reef, where if you get that combo, you're really good. You're really happy. This is like, if you get this combo, you're not as happy as the other guys, but at least you're happier. You're like, okay, I'm getting a big minion that can do something, you know? So yeah, I'm down.
It's for me, this card was perfectly fine. And then it's like a little bit overbuffed where it works in combat now. But if it keeps people on tier two, then fair, I guess, right? I'm not gonna like.
You need something. You need something, and this isn't the crazy.
I don't think this is not like backstage security, right? Not at all. So Shipwright now having the buffs in combat is that's just good. That's just really good. So yeah, if you open it with Ripsnarl now, like you said, that's a fantastic combo.
And Elise, baby, this is in your end game. This thing has 100 attack or 100 health because you get all
Eliza.
Choo, 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 choo,
now, I will say that I have played this in Rock builds and just used the Mutinous on it later then, where I was playing Gallywix and I used this to stabilize. And man, that's a lot of health with Rock where it's just like ding, 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 ding. So much.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. This thing just was like. Because like gray main, it's like ding 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 rock ding 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 ding.
Yeah, Hooktail as well. That's true. Yeah. There's some more synergies that people are going to start messing with, and you know,
yeah,
you're welcome.
Colors is all for it. Okay. Then Fellblood goes from a 3/2 to a 2/1. So this is the death rattle, give minions to attack in the tavern. I think that's fair because this card was pretty dumb, and this is going to make it actually a choice whether you buy it or not, right? It's going to be a real negative attached to it.
It does hurt. It does hurt, dude. One of my early games, I had two of them, and I still bought them, right? So maybe it's fine, right? Because I still bought, like, at the end of the day, I still bought 2/2/1s on turn 3, you know, as my turn. But I was just like, oh, now I have 2/2/1s on my board, and it's just like, I hurt. But yeah, I did buy them still. Like, to be fair, they were my best cards, so... Maybe right, but it felt really bad. Like that
two
turn
is a bit overkill, I think. Right, I don't think you can actually get away with two of them. That's like so much damage.
Well, I eventually tripled it, right, and then it was okay, right? But okay. The first like two turns, I was like, oh my god, like I just have no board essentially. Well, after the first turn, I buy like a, you know, like a 8 attack minion, you know, then it's like okay, but it did feel bad. But I understand it, and I still took it.
Then Underhanded Dealer goes from being a 4/4 to a 6/6. That's yet again just a change to try to steer the meta a little bit more in a different spot where this doesn't necessarily make Pirates Giga strong, but it means, oh, I tripled into a dealer. Oh, it's a 6/6 now. I have like two, maybe three things I'm going to sell this turn. Oh, that's a 9/9. Okay, that's the best tempo card. I'll take it. And then, you know, you have a reason to have Peggy on your board, and you might play Balladist, and before you know it, you have a big pirate, and suddenly you're, you know, playing more towards pirates. Yeah. So I think it's just one of those changes. Like, people weren't playing a lot of pirates, or not doing well with pirates. Let's just bump the stats up a bit so you can now actually have it on your board.
I wonder if it might be good enough to play with Greymane. You know how when you're playing Grey Mage, you just have all evens? It's hard to play odd stuff because it doesn't get buffed. Like, is this enough to be like, ooh, maybe it scales on the same level of a Grey Mage, or is like, nah.
I mean, the scaling was not changed, right?
Yeah, but I mean, it starts early. You know, maybe it's enough. Maybe you keep it on your board, you know what I mean?
I don't think this changes for Grey Man at all.
You wouldn't keep it on your board. It's like, nah, it's just...
No, I think... I mean, with Grey Man, you kind of just want economy stuff. Right, so you just want Tethys to get more money. You want Wraith to
roll. Yeah, I guess that's true.
Then I don't... Brand is an odd card you can run in Grey Man, right? Brand you can run.
Sure, because it gives you a ton of money. And it's
gives you
it.
Money
yeah.
to play more
evens. I guess it's fair. I was just hoping, but right. I guess it's true.
Oh, look, it's the card that's invisible for Collins.
For now, right? Like, I play more games and, like, I play more Murlocs and it might show up, yeah.
Bream counter went from being a 3-2 to a 3-3. So, sorry, the effect, the bonus went from being +3/+2 per Murloc played to +3/+3 for every Murloc played. This, to me, was really... During quest meta, Murlocs were really strong. So I assume this is a nerf they did during quest meta. By the way, it went from 3-3 to 3-2. Mm-hmm. So my expectation was the minute quest meta ended, they would just restore it to being +3/+3, because the reason Murlocs make such good use of quests is quests are like trigger your end of turn an extra time, trigger your battle cries an extra time, get a little bit of extra gold here, do this, do that. And Murlocs are just... If you have extra economy, Murlocs are such an insane vehicle to put that money to use, right? They are so good at like, oh, you have a lot of money? Oh, just go to six, get a Murkai, get a Bree, get a Primal Fin. Just like money, buff, money, buff. So Murlocs use extra resources incredibly well. So they were just really good in quest meta. But I guess they just wanted a little bit of more information.
Yeah, a little bit of evidence.
It is a little weird when you like very confidently say, Bream counter back to 3-3, and they're like, oh, sorry, it's pretty much still a field.
Yeah, right?
So I get that, right? That's an awkward buff, nerf thing. So it's totally fine, right? I just expected to change earlier, but it's a fair thing for them to say, you know what? Let's just give it a couple weeks, see if Murlocs are still, you know, bad, and then we'll buff them. Yeah. So
and they were still bad. Yeah.
And they were still bad, so they did get buffed. Okay, what's your take on this one?
I don't know if I like it, because you know, I just generate Murlocs. Oh, right. King Vergurgo. Yeah. So it went from a tier 5 to a tier 4, but now the Battlecry gives your other Murlocs +2/+2 instead of +3/+3. So it kind of nerfed, but now it's tier 4, so you can get more often. I just don't think you're doing tier 4 Murlocs that often. And you need Brand, right? Tier 5. You need Primal Fin. You really want Young Murkai as well. So when you are doing Murlocs, you're on higher tier. And usually when you get this card, it's because you generated it from a Tad. You generated it from a Primal Fin. You're not really buying it. So what tier it's on doesn't really matter. You could say that maybe there's more in the pool, but you really don't want to spend that much money buying this in the shop either. So just feels like a nerf, but I guess it's fine to do other things, right? If you have to move some cards in other places. So
yeah, my thoughts exactly. I think this just means that for high MMR, this is not a thing. And then for mid MMR, maybe we're going to see some viability of... So let's say like 6K and below, right? 6K and below, you might actually be able to just... I'm just going to have Bream in my hand. And then there's another change, right, that I'm going to tab into. We'll kind of have to tackle these at the same time. Conch was moved from tier 5 to tier 4. So I think what this means is that they're essentially moving Murloc support to tier 4 without actually moving Primal Fin to tier 4 again. I think that's their thought. Let's move some Murloc support to tier 4 without actually moving Primal Fin to tier 4. Because when Primal Fin was on tier 4, it was easy to trigger with Draconic and with Rylac, although Draconic is back to 5, so I don't know if they're going to try Primal Fin on 4 again in the near future. But anyways, for now, I think what they're saying is now you can just have Bream in your hand and you can play Begurgles, which will buff your board and it'll buff your hand. You can play Cloning Conch, which now puts the... We can almost see the cards on the left. Yeah, honestly, this wasn't designed for that, guys. So don't give Collins shit for this.
I can move you.
These are my slides.
You want this?
Just put me on top of you. It's fine. Yeah. Then the top card is. We might see those cards, anyways. Most of the time people complain, and it's like, now we can't see the related cards. Why is it? Look at the related cards. All right. Anyways. Yeah. I'll try that. I mean, there's no spots where this was designed for one camera. Anyways, well, so I think
the whole should have fixed that. Should have told him, hey, this might be designed for two cameras, my friend.
Right. I mean, we can try that for next one.
Yeah, sounds good.
But I mean, we could like normally what we have is we just have like the freaking just screen of we'll just have like the web.
Usually I try to be better than that, you know. But I hear you.
Yeah, that's right. You're just like sizing down. Okay, that's fine. Anyways, I tend to give chat some shit sometimes, so just pardon me. It's fine. Whatever. It depends how I'm feeling. So yeah. Anyways, to round it out, I think that this is actually going to be viable-ish on mid to low level MMR, where you just stay on tier 4 and feed your breams with all this. But for high MMR, no shot. I don't think you're ever going to stay on tier 4 and just farm Murlocs. Like, yeah. It's too expensive. It's too slow. You need Murkai. You need Primal Fin. You need Bran.
Sounds good. Dreamers embrace to tier 5, so this does matter a lot because there's less of these spells to get, so you can't be... It used to be where you could just roll, 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 hit a Dreamers, and roll, roll, roll with the money you got from the Dreamers, hit another Dreamers, and you're just like infinite. Now it's going to be a little bit harder. There's a lot less of them. But Dreamers is still a fantastic card if you have a synergy, you have brand, you just get a lot of money, you get a lot of economy. I had this game with... This is a game I was trying to hit. I had the Golden Nala with the Golden Shell, with the Golden Draconic Naga.
You did it? Today?
Or? Yeah, today. Yeah, after you left. With Brand, you know, and it was just like, I was getting, 18 or, no, it was 14, yeah, 16, yeah, 16 Tavern spells per turn. And I had Young Murkai, so plus 4, so 20, 30 of them per turn. You know, it was kind of broken, for sure, yeah. And Dreamers, I hit some Dreamers, that's another 4 spells, kind of stupid. And Dreamer gives you like 4 gold or 2 to 4 gold.
It's a fair nerf.
Yeah, it's a fair nerf.
It was pretty ridiculous. Yeah. So something to note as well is that spells don't work exactly the same way in the pool as minions, where spells actually have their highest number of spells in the pool on tier 4. And so if you have a spell on tier 4, you're going to see that spell, like let's say you're on tier 6, you're going to see tier 4 spells the most of all, because there's more of them in the pool.
Mm.
More copies. Now, so whenever you see something moving into tier 4 or away from tier 4, that's going to affect how many copies there are in the game. So now there's just less, there's fewer Dreamers embraces, so you're just going to see less of them in the shop. Even
wait,
if
do 1, 2s, and 3s have the same?
I don't know exactly what the grouping is, but I know that, I think it's sort of like you go up a mountain, and then the top of the mountain is 4, and then it's back down a mountain.
Okay.
So I think that's roughly it, the distribution. I'm not sure. Maybe there's more, but whatever. Anyways. Well, I can double check for next episode, honestly. We can check the numbers.
You're not gonna
I just
remember.
Know that spells are a little bit different.
You're not going to remember. Like, here's
that's the... fine. Then one of the viewers or listeners can email us and say, hey.
Sure.
Keep your promise. All right, so scavenge for parts. This feels super fair to me.
Yeah, it was too free.
Well, it was 4 gold. Then they buffed it to 2 gold, and now it's 3 gold. So I think 3 gold is Goldilocks zone, right? It's like, you know, this is normal.
Yeah, it was kind of like any archetype could buy it at 2 gold because it's free money. Like at 3 turns, you get 3 money.
Yeah,
If you hit the arc. What's it called? The Cordotron? It's even more than that. So
compound interest, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, it was a bit much, but I think now, now it's a lot better. I think. Well, a lot fairer. Maybe not better. It's worse.
Better for the game. Yeah. Worse for mechs, but better for the game.
Yeah. Mechs again hit this.
Yeah, mechs for them. I mean, this change is weird.
This is a Jeef nerf.
I was going to say, this is literally just Jeef sitting on 4 breaking the game.
Yeah.
So Jeef, I haven't seen the video, but I think it's just Lubbers on tier 4. Yeah. So he probably just had a board with Lubbers having... So Plunder Seeker is a tier 4 spell, right? We just did the whole spiel. There's a lot of tier 4 spells in the pool. So what you could theoretically do is have Plunder Seeker, which is the spell that steals cards from the shop. for how many pirates you have. So this used to be steal a card and then repeat for each friendly pirate. They nerfed it to now steal a card for each pirate you control. So essentially steal one fewer cards.
Yeah.
So what you could hypothetically do is stay on tier 4 and then have lubbers so that you roll a lot of spells. So you can use the Plunder Seeker to steal more Plunder Seeker to then get more Plunder Seeker while you play Plunder Seeker to get more Plunder Seekers. You get what I mean? So if you have anything that benefits from casting spells, so let's say Azurite, right? Suddenly you're just going like ding, 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 money, money, buff, 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 money, 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 buff, buff, buff.
Yeah, you could do it with Azurite. Oh,
yeah,
so that actually sounds cool to me. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Just imagine you steal the shop and it's just like spells in your hand, and you're like wee, and then wee, and then more wee, right? Yeah. So you didn't play when Lubber was the
what is that? What is Lubber?
You remember? Well, I mean, I'm saying Lubber for like when Lubber was a tier 2. So. I think we probably jumped.
We played like a test game or like a. You know.
I like hard forced.
Yeah.
Probably after a podcast.
Yeah. Yes. I think that's what happened. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It was so dumb, right? So what you used to do is you get Soul Rewinder, you stay on tier 2, Lubber's a 2 drop, and then you just get Scouts to try and triple into like Gnala or Azurite.
Yeah, I think I remember right, so this.
Yeah, 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 you're on tier 2, and then because you have Lubber, you roll Overconfidence, which was still on tier 2, Careful Investment, Hasty, which is still on 2, and then because you have Soul Rewinder, you can buy every Hasty for free, and you would just go infinite. You just have Lubbers, and you just go infinite, and you just start buying Strike Coils.
I remember this.
Oh, God. So basically, that's this, but then with Plunder Seeker.
Right.
So that's why dinner. Jeef was probably like, Lubber's on 4. I could go infinite. I could do it.
I could do it.
I could find it. I could go infinite. So I remember, like, Jeef is probably like, come on, bro. What the fuck? Come on. You have to pay money if you buy my cards? That's ridiculous. Get out of here with your bullshit. But it's still right? This is just a Jeef nerf. It's crazy. All right. I bet they look at it like, God damn it, Jeef. I should have done a card again. No one else is doing this shit. Yeah. All right, and then here we are, duos changes. So that was it for the solos. Not a lot of changes for duos, but some ones that make sense. So you're playing more duos than icons. What do you think about this? First of all, what is this and what?
So Orchestra Conductor is going from +2/+1 to back to +2/+2, and you're upgrading for each orchestra your team has played this game. I think they went super duper heavy on the nerf because it was by far the best thing. And there was nothing to do, and you have it every game. So if they didn't nerf it enough, it's still like close to the best thing. You still get to play it every game, right? So they went super heavy nerf, and they definitely over nerfed it. Now it was like unplayable. Now I do think this one is still near the levels of unplayable because you can't really scale it that easily. But maybe you can just buy it and have it and just like maybe have like some buffs. But it's not really worth the gold. So I don't really think this is going to make it where Orchestra is now like something you can really heavily do. I mean, maybe, right? So duels is weird because maybe you can have one person stay on 3 and then they feed them a brand, right? And you're on 3 with a brand and like maybe that you could do something, but it's not, it doesn't make it obvious, right? And at least, I mean, you can still like have the duo player feed Draconics and stuff, but it doesn't scream as like this is going to be broken since you have to be buying Orchestra Conductors. Every turn, so
yeah, I completely agree. It's they do that where, and I kind of see where they get the logic, right, to over nerf something, because if you hit something and it's still a problem, it's like, oh my god, that's a feels bad, man.
It means that they aren't doing their jobs well.
Yeah, so hitting it too hard and then scaling it back makes sense, kind of like over buffing and then scaling it back, right? Like, let's say they make D-blue on 3 and it's not enough for people to play it, I'm like, oh no, that's okay, now I have to buff it again. Yeah. So I think this is actually a fair approach of doing it. All right, and then the other change
here, I wonder if you could do +3/+3. That one feels like I would play it. Yeah,
I think that'll, like, we'll probably see it because this still feels pretty trash, right? Battlecry, give 2/2 for every played. Now we have to see, you know, if people get super good at portal well-wisher stuff, maybe, right?
Yeah, I guess you can still do portal stuff.
Yeah, portal well-wisher, you can pump it up. So they got to be careful, right? Because then Chief's going to break the game again, right? Okay, cool.
Yeah, and this one is another another duos change, duos nerf. Minari Messenger going from tier 4 to tier 5. So this is just Minari with Rylak was just too good. They're both on 4, so it's pretty easy to get both on 4, stay on 4, roll it down for these, and then you just get really good scaling, and then you can combo it with Tidus, you can combo with Brand, you can combo with the Draconic. There's just a lot of ways to pump up. And once you have like 20, 20, 30, 30 Tavern minions, there's like usually you're running a Fel'Bor, and then you're just eating so much stats, you get so big, it's really hard to deal with. So, and it's pretty easy because you just need demons in usually, and Beast being in doesn't necessarily mean you can't run it, but having Rylak is the safest way to scale it up. So just moving one of the tier 4s to tier 5 just means it's going to be a lot harder to get that combo very early, and you need it early for it to feel strong, otherwise you get out-tempoed. So I think this is a pretty safe way of doing it. It does make the card feel a little weird, but I do think it was too strong in its current form, so I'm down with the change overall.
Yeah, no, I agree. We did this so many times where one person is like the battery just pumping and the other person goes full Fel'Bor.
It buffs both of your taverns. Like, this is a strong card. Like, it is really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, fair nerf. All right, and that's it. That's the last change. So
nice.
Pretty nice patch. Overall, nice patch, I would say. Lots of stuff that they hit.
I do want to ask, like, what are you thinking is going to be, like, some of the strongest new art types that are going to emerge? So we've seen some of the changes, right? But do you have, like, oh, now this archetype is going to be strong. Demons, because of the backstage, is now going to be very good. Things like that. Do you have any thoughts on that idea?
Yeah, so I would answer that with... It's going to, you have to look at whether you're still going to want to play around mid game as much as before. Because essentially what I'm trying to answer this question is whether mechs are going to be good or not is going to depend on how much you're going to be fighting early. Mm. So if you're in a meta where you're more tripling into fives and sixes and going for the value, right? We've had a lot of metas where that is a correct line. You go for your six, you try to get your Tethys, and you pop off. If that is going to be the meta, then something like mechs does fall off a cliff. However, I think the core reason why we were playing so aggressively and so much in the mid game hasn't really changed. You still have really good threes, you still have really good fours. So for me, this feels like mechs are still going to be pretty powerful because having Deflectobots does pretty well. We're still going to see mid game stuff with people running Lasher. We're still going to have some dragon stuff, right? If you have Roaring Rally early on, we're still going to have people doing stuff with Long John, Aranasi, Chimera, right? All these things are still in the game untouched. So my expectation for the meta is that it's going to be similar to the previous meta, where it's going to be lots of fighting, lots of damage early, where you can't quite afford to go into that six. Which means that something like just pure pirates is going to be harder to do. Something like just going Sylvas Nagas is going to be harder to do. So
why didn't Strong Arm the Strong Naga? You know what I'm talking about?
Greta.
No. Slitter Spear, Lord of Gains. Why didn't he get a buff? This guy needed to buff himself. I just don't get it. Buff yourself, dude.
Be careful. Like, I had a lot of really good Naga games, and like,
no, I didn't. I did not.
Okay, but yeah, that's fine. You just didn't play it, right? But
right. You think that's too much to buff itself?
Well, I think the problem is that you just don't get to six as early, right? You need to
for Nagas
to be good. Yeah, for Nagas to be good, you really have to power level and have like multiple Sylvas on your board and pop.
It's off. Like Cool Board, but the payoff isn't as high.
Yeah. But it's just like I've just had many, many Naga games from previous. Basically, the mid game is just too strong to make these tier 6 centric comps strong, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, okay. We're still gonna have to steal, right? I get an early Slitter Spear, I still just get killed. You know what I mean? Like, I don't.
Yeah, you really have to start with spell generation. Now, right. It could also be that spell generation is a little bit harder to do. But if you have Draconic Shell Whisper, basically like Gnala. Mm. Like the thing you did with Gnala, but right. then Draconic Shell Whistler. Yeah. That's how you would do gains. And then your gains is your Gnala, and then you just play Naugus instead of Menagerie. And then it's okay.
Because yeah, you see that working.
You spam so many spells, so you get a lot of economy, so you can buy more shit. And then you usually end up with like a golden Myrmidon, and it's like a thousand, right? Because it's like giga stats.
Golden Myrmidon is not something I've done, but maybe that's the issue. So
usually a Naga board is going to be gains one or two, Drakari for double end of turn,
right?
And then Myrmidon and spell generation. That's usually my go-to. And then you can top off with Thrasher, right? As you're cycling out your Greed for tempo, you play Thrasher, and then Thrasher is like a Naga that gets buffed, but it's also Poison Divine Shield.
Sure. Still, I wouldn't mind buffing itself. Just going to throw it out there. Yeah,
and then it's broken the moment the meta slows down.
That's how we do it, baby.
That's how I do it. Break, I leave. My work is done.
But yeah, I don't know. I would have liked to see this card get a little bit of a buff personally. So
yeah, I just think it's hard to make these tier 6 comps work if you're just going to be fighting in a mid game a lot.
Then make the tier 6 better, my friend. That's here we go. That's my thought process. Just make it better. Yeah, not too good that it's Cobra level, but you know,
just make it better. All right. Yeah, we're gonna have to see. So that's really the main question I think you should be on the lookout for. Is the game still going to be so mid game tempo heavy?
Yeah,
and my instinct is yes.
Beast did definitely get a big win from this patch, so. Beasts are a lot stronger, so that's something you can try looking for. I know last patch that wasn't really something that felt good, felt strong, but with Lasher, with the other guy, the 1-2 guy, he's a lot better. They're a lot better, so that's something I would try. Dragon's a little bit weaker because you can't get the Ember as easily, but yeah, so I wouldn't force it. It's not. I don't think it's enforcing level, but if you have a Poet, you triple into the Ember, like that's definitely something to consider. An Amber is stronger now, right? Getting 7/7 now is actually pretty meaningful. Yeah. So that is nice, but it is definitely a weaker tier 4 dragon, which I think is healthy.
Oh, I will say the murky stuff, that might make tier 6 good enough.
Like Murlocs are better, is what Shady's saying, yeah. And I do agree. Yeah, like,
definitely better. They're definitely
so better. That's good.
As I'm going through this, and then the sister stuff, Undead better.
Yeah, Undead is also better, yep. Mechs are weaker, but still strong, which is good. Scrap Scraper is sad, but everyone else didn't really get touched. Arcanotron is what I'm afraid of, but they didn't nerf it at all, so, you know, whatever.
Well, Mech Generation is a lot weaker now. Right, right. Scraper that's not true, being yeah, Battle yeah. Crest, so I don't think you're going to have too many Arcanotrons lying around.
Yeah, Quillbores are also weaker, but statistically, they were, like, the best, you know, winning archetype, so, you know. I think at high ELOs, but that's not the ELO we need to discuss here. But, yeah, they're weaker for sure. And Naugus and Demons. Demons didn't really get changed, right? I mean, they nerf Fiery, I guess, but that doesn't really matter. So I guess demons are kind of the same. Yeah.
Demons are still just make a big guy.
Yeah, make a big guy.
Preferably no Quill, no Ellie, and then taunt the big guy and cultist.
Yeah. And then elementals, once Lil Raggarin, are going to be a little bit better as well. So,
all right. Cool. That's going to be it for today, guys. Nice. Quick little in and out podcast.
Yep. Helps me. Yeah. Now I can figure out how I'm spending.
I can have a day. Nice. All right. Cool. All right. Send us off, cons.
Thank you guys for joining us here. We'll see you in the next one. You can find us at hsbpodcast@gmail.com. You can send us at Educated Collins and Shady Bunny Live, YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter, and other stuff. And hopefully you enjoyed this one. Quick one right after the patch came out. So people have been requesting for that. Been getting personal messages asking for us to do it right after the patches, and I told them no, but I lied to them.
I told them no, and then I did it
anyway. Yeah, and then I did it anyway.
A double ignore. Yeah, okay. No, I mean, it's just nice if it's on a Friday, it's perfect. Thursday patch, Friday podcast.
That's the way to do it. Yeah,
all right. Well, see you guys. Thanks for tuning in.
Take care, everyone.